Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to hear you. I can't barely see you, but I know there's a brave crowd in, or just a few people talking a lot. But folks, it's lovely to see you here with us this evening as we worship God at our carol service. If you're visiting with us, you're very, very welcome. And we pray that you would know God's blessing as we worship together. And we extend an invitation to you to come and join us in the hall upstairs for some refreshments and a light supper after the service. I've had a taste of it, and it's all pretty good, so it's the official rule. I wouldn't ask anybody to eat anything that I haven't ate myself, except Brussels sprouts, but there you go. The service this evening will run unannounced, so when you see on the screen, please stand, that's you. So you stand and sing, and then when you've finished singing, sit down, and somebody will come up and do something, we trust that God will lead us as we read and pray and sing and bring glory to him. But we'll do so just at the start by bowing our heads and uniting our hearts in prayer. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here tonight into a building that we call the church. But Lord, we know it's just a building. But Lord, on this night, we ask that this building would be special, that you would bless us, Lord, by the presence of your Holy Spirit. May each of us feel him, Lord, as we sing and as we listen to readings and as we pray and Lord, as we come to your word, and we just ask that everyone here, Lord, would feel that presence, that the Spirit would speak to each of us, Lord, with words that each of us need to hear. And Lord, that we would get to the end of this service knowing that we have met with you. But as we worship you, Lord, we pray that we would know fellowship as we stand side by side singing to your praise and to your glory and to your honor. For Lord, you alone are worthy of our praise. And yet, Lord, we know that as we come in here, some of us have probably been at church this morning already, whether here or somewhere else. And Lord, lots of things have happened between those two services. And we just ask now, Lord, that you would still our hearts. Help us, Lord, just to take a moment with you, to help us just unwind from whatever we've been doing. Lord, help us again just to reset those things that we've done wrong and some of the wrong attitudes that we have. Help us, Lord, just to just wipe those slates clean so that we are just completely focused on you, our great God. So Lord, as we come now to worship you, we just ask that all that we do would bring you praise, glory, and honor. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading is taken from Genesis 1. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I have commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put an enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I have commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed are the ground that because of you. Through painful toil you will eat it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Then Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of cities of your enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Amen.
Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Amen.
Looking for a king, but he didn't come in glory. The author of the oceans and the sun, still he chose to be written in our story. So he could feel our flesh and blood, and we manger for a bed, no crown upon his head. He came like us instead, Emmanuel. He meets you where you are, he holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It was no mistake that he arrived, lost without a home, helpless as a baby. So if we're feeling lost in our own lives, we are not alone. He has felt the same things because he lived in flesh and blood. We can know his love, Emmanuel. A manger for a bed, no crown upon his head. He came like us instead, Emmanuel. He meets you where you are, he holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all, for us to come and offer him our all, to kneel before the child who shall be called Emmanuel. A manger for a bed, no crown upon his head. He came like us instead, Emmanuel. He meets you where you are, he holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all, Emmanuel.
Let us come to God and let us pray. Lord, we pray for each person here tonight and each family represented tonight. We give thanks that you hold every single one of us in your hand. And we pray that as we join together in your presence here, we will take the blessing that we receive out into the cool night air, then back into the warmth of our families, so that our Christmases will be truly filled with your Spirit. Jesus Christ, born in a stable, be with the poor and homeless this Christmas time, Lord. There's many living in tents, many living in doorways, not knowing where their next meal will come from. We pray for those out there trying to make a difference. We pray for Nightlight. We pray for the SOS bus who are working among people in different circumstances than we find ourselves in tonight.
And we pray that through what they do, they will show hope in among the darkness. Jesus Christ, born of Mary, we pray for young mothers across this world at this Christmas time. Mothers who have been left on their own or just struggling to keep up with all that goes on in the fast pace of this world. Lord, we pray that they will find peace and that they will find that peace in you alone. Jesus Christ, visited by shepherds, be with all who have to work this Christmas. They have to leave their families to do essential work. For those who long to work and find some stability in their lives. And we pray for many that are looking for work, looking for full-time jobs, and just trying to find that answer to God's direction and God's thoughts within their lives. Lord, we lift them up to you tonight. Jesus Christ, who became a refugee, be with those who fear for their lives and those who have left homes and families this Christmas. Lord, we've seen them so often on our TVs, on boats, on lorries, struggling to find a better life. And Father, we pray that they will find that hope in you among all the struggles that they see in their life. Father, let us remember those who are vulnerable and let us find comfort in helping them to have a special Christmas. And let us also remember the real meaning of Christmas. Let us remember that on Christmas Day, Word became flesh and Jesus, the light of the world, was born. Let us celebrate the coming of Christ and fill us with love and hope so that we may be filled with happiness which we can pass on to others during this special time. In Jesus' name, we pray these things.
The third reading is taken from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
fourth reading is also taken from the book of Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The fifth reading is taken from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
I was getting that excited there, forgot it was mine, but next. I just want to take the opportunity to say again thank you to everyone for all their hard work making Christmas what it is for us. As we worship together, all of this just doesn't happen. All the decorations, the food, the preparations to lead the singing, the reading. And I have to say, without fear of contradiction, that all of the readers and prayers were willing volunteers this time. I did ask them, but they were all no strong arm and had to be done. So that was good. 5 years in, and people are starting to settle in a wee bit. That's great. I do think we have to make a special mention tonight of our angel on the piano. You know, Heather doesn't do Christmas jumpers because they're tacky. Right? Has everyone seen what's happening down here? Where's Paddy? Is your batteries out, Paddy? Are they out? Aye, where are you? Oh, there. Oh, you can't see him. Oh, yeah, Paddy's flashing it good enough there. It's great to see such good Christmas spirit. And Christmas is full of traditions. I mean, Christmas jumpers are a tradition now. But we have all these other traditions. We have personal traditions. I mean, Christmas for me would not be Christmas without a big tube of Smarties. Isn't that right, love? So assured am I this year that I bought them myself and handed them to you to wrap up and give back to me. And so blessed am I. That will only be the third big tube of Smarties that I've got this year. But these are traditions. We have all these silly wee traditions that we just love at Christmas. It makes Christmas Christmas for us. Family traditions. Church traditions. I mean, I get the church calendar out, and when I'm planning, I know that this Sunday is the Sunday where we have our carol service. The Friday night is a carol service in Clocky. We have Christmas morning. These things are traditional. They're set in stone. Cannot be changed. We do the same thing at Christmas year after year after year after year. The only thing that changes a bit for us is when the kids grow up and start becoming adults on you and things like that. That changes it a wee bit. Your first married Christmas. We have a number of people who got married this year. Some of them are represented. I can see a couple up there. Anna, who read for us, you can't see where she's sitting, but Daniel here, is he? Oh, she's on her own at Christmas. So she's spending her first Christmas alone. No, he's on his way. He's coming. He's coming over from Scotland. But that first Christmas, there's always that, where are you having Christmas dinner? Which side of the family? But once you get that over you, you get into these traditions. There's lots of discussions about presents. I'm sure if you get me that, I'll get you. You buy Irwin's, we'll buy Irwin's, and we'll swap the money over, and we'll invite this one and that. We invited this one last year, so it's this year for the other ones, and then the type of food. It's all traditional. Now, I'm not saying tradition is bad. Don't be thinking I'm sitting here going all bah humbug on you. Because we do look forward to some of those nice, safe, comfortable traditions, and those are good. But it does seem that we get onto this merry-go-round, this fairground of Christmas. We jump on it around the 1st of December, and we get off it on the 27th as soon as we can. Or if we thought we could get off it on Boxing Day, we might do that. But somewhere after Boxing Day, we jump off that again, and we wait for next December to come around. But in our tradition of preaching through Christmas or at Christmas, we've been looking at the spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. How God has prophesied hundreds of years, thousands of years, through hundreds of generations, about a Christmas that was going to come, that first Christmas when Jesus was born. We're in the present era of Christmas, Jesus born, and that is continuing all the way through this morning. We looked at the future, Christmas future, that time when Jesus would return. But tonight I want to take a brief look of what it will be like in that permanent Christmas dwelling place. Now, you know that song that comes on the radio? Well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Wouldn't you get scundered if it was Christmas every day? I could probably stick it for a week, maybe a fortnight at a push. We could not stick Christmas every day. We're sort of glad to get off that merry-go-round at the end of December, aren't we? But our permanent Christmas dwelling place will not be like Christmas here on earth. I want to read a few verses from Revelation chapter 21, just the first five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. A new heaven and a new earth, for this heaven and this earth will pass away. Paul writes in Corinthians, and John writes in his first letter, that the world will pass away. And the world will be replaced by what we read here in verse 2, a new Jerusalem, a new city coming down. And if you wanted to read about that, you could do so in Revelation 21. You go on through verses 10 to 27, describe the beauty of that. It's not literal, but you can imagine a picture painted with all these jasper and precious stones, and the streets are paved with gold. This is just telling us how precious and how beautiful this place will be. And this place is going to be like what it was meant to be at the beginning. Verse 3, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men. That's what God wanted. That's why God created us. He created a garden and he put us in it. And if you remember that story where he was walking in the cool of the day, way back at the beginning of Genesis. God desiring to dwell with the people that he has made in his image because of love. And we're told there he will live with us. We will be his people and he will be our God. And in this new heaven and in this new earth, there's going to be no pain, no more suffering, no more death. For the old order has passed away. It is gone. We will be dwelling with God in our resurrection bodies. That's what we looked at this morning. As Jesus returns, as the trumpet call comes, we will rise up to meet him in the air, and we will be changed, we will be transformed, and we will be like him in a body that is fit for purpose in the eternal kingdom of God, completely free from all the effects of sin. No more aches and pains. Imagine that. Huh? Wouldn't that be great? No more limping about with a big boot on you, boy. Where'd he go? I feel that pain, for I had one of those on there last time last year. No more of that. Our bodies completely freed from all of the sin's effects on us. Because God is making everything, everything new. So all of our current Christmas traditions will be gone. Even the ones we like. All replaced with an environment and an experience that is beyond our imagination. And in Revelation 22, we're told that in that great city, there's going to be a river of life. And in the middle of that river of life, there is the tree of life. And if we think back to that story in Genesis, there was the tree of life in the garden. And because Adam and Eve sinned, God says, you cannot eat from the tree of life any longer. And we were banished from that tree with a sustenance that will enable us to live forever. Tunnocks, marshmallows, I think. I would love to get into heaven and see a Tunnocks marshmallow tree. I could handle it. I could handle it here on earth, I think. But it'll be even more perfect in heaven. And that tree of life in the garden, in this new garden, in this new Jerusalem, this is how it's described. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The healing of the nations. Total, eternal restoration in God's presence. Now here's the truth. We can't imagine what this new heaven and this new earth is going to be like. Whatever you imagine it to be, it's going to be more than that. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't read Revelation 21 and 22 and try to imagine what it's going to be like. That's why we should think about 1 Thessalonians and think, when that trumpet sounds, will I be ready to rise up and meet Jesus in the air? What is that like? What is that going to be like? That's going to be amazing. And we should think about that. We can't imagine what it's like, but what we can be assured of is this. We can be assured of a place in whatever it's going to be like. But not everyone can be assured of a place. In verse 27 of chapter 21, it says, "Nothing impure will enter this city. Only those whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life." Jesus is the Lamb. He gives us life. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Only those who have a personal relationship with Jesus will enter this holy city. And this is what Jesus says. Chapter 22. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may go through the gates into the city." Well, folks, I pray that this Christmas you will feel that assurance. That you know that you will get to those pearly gates, as we call them, and that you will take your first steps on the streets that are paved with gold to spend an eternity in your resurrection body with God who created you, with Jesus who died for you, in the presence of the Spirit who leads us and who guides us. And we will all share one big, happy, permanent Christmas dwelling place. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you for Christmas and all that we can enjoy at this time of year. And Lord, we thank you for the meaning of Christmas. Baby Jesus born to grow up, become a man and die for our sins. And in that, Lord, we rejoice. For he conquered grave, paying the price that our sins deserved. Lord, what a Savior you have given us. And it's in his name that we pray and rejoice. Amen. We stand together to sing. Folks, we do invite you to come and join with us for some fellowship and some tea, and I think there's even wee sausages around there, so come and join us for fellowship. I am going to go to the door, but I don't want to shake hands with you there. I want to see you up in the hall. Let's just pray at the end of our service. Lord God, we do thank and praise you for this evening, for our worship. And we pray, Lord, as we leave here, we will feel the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen. Just before you go, we're going to sing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas."